Welcome to the Twins Tale Podcast. I am Natalie Diaz, your host. I'm also the founder of Twiniversity and the author of What to Do When You're Having Two. You know what, guys? In the past 10 years of being a twin parenting professional, I have met such extraordinary families. And the one thing that I have learned is that we could learn something from every single one of them. And that's what this podcast is about. We're going to meet families from all over the country in different stages of their twin parenting journey. And we're going to get an insider's look on what time their kids are going to bed. How do they deal with sibling rivalry? What is their biggest success to date? I can't wait for you to meet these amazing families. Guys, welcome to Twins Tale. Are you in the market for a new stroller? Well, good news. You're going to learn about one right now. This podcast is sponsored by Zoe Strollers. I don't know if you know, guys know about Zoe, but Zoe makes a stroller called the Zoe Tandem Plus. It was actually the runner-up for Best Tandem Stroller of our 2020 Twinny Awards. And what's so really amazing is that it's made of this super durable, high-grade aluminum. And it sounds like heavy, like, oh my gosh, high-grade aluminum, but it's actually super light. It's a really, really well-built stroller, and here's the kicker. It could easily go from a single stroller to a double stroller. What? Nat, are you losing your mind? What's happening now? Nope, I kid you not, guys. It is a stroller that converts from a single stroller to a double stroller and vice versa in literally seconds. It is a really revolutionary add-on, and this is what makes it so awesome, right? Because in the single mode, I could spend one-on-one time with just one of my twinnies. I could choose my favorite of the day. Or I could, you know, make it into that double kind of tandem stroller. And it's still super lightweight, super easy to maneuver, all while running errands. So you got to check it out. So to learn more, go to zoestrollers.com and check out their Zoe Tandem Plus. Today, I'm going to introduce you to my friend, Olivia. Wait till you hear this, guys. Listen, this is literally a twin's tale, right? And we are going to get the intro to Olivia's twinnies live. She has twin girls, Austin Paisley and Brindley Page. Such sweet names, right? Guess what? Her twins are only 9 weeks old. 9 weeks old. She's still pretty much healing from her delivery, and she's taking time to talk to us today. It's interesting. She kind of gives some real kind of like real time perspective on her healing process, both emotionally and physically. She talks about how the first 9 weeks have been, her delivery experience, and it's just great. It's just great. And just for a disclaimer, we kind of get into a little intervention because, you know, I hear so many times moms say, you know, when especially when they're talking about breastfeeding, they say, you know, I only breastfed blank. And as, you know, the big cheese here at Twiniversity, I get frustrated when people say that because any day that you breastfeed is a success. So you get to join me on a little Olivia intervention. So join us today. I can't wait for you to meet her. And here's Olivia. Oh, my God, Olivia. First of all, since you're from California, I feel like I want to talk like that because that's what East Coasters think in our minds, that Californians.
Only if I could talk in a New York accent.
Oh, you
which
totally
actually
can.
Great.
Are you
I'm
good
very
at it?
Bad at it. My boss is from New York and I try to copy her all the time and I go, bury the hatchet. And it doesn't work.
that was your big New York saying is bury
that's
the hatchet.
Big New York say, bury the hatchet. Yeah, I can't do it. I can't.
I like it. I think that anybody who has an accent, like a geographical specific accent, probably doesn't know they have one. And I never realize how bad my accent is until I leave the city. Also, God forbid you find me, which is why I'll never drink and do a podcast or a live feed, because honestly, I sound like somebody out of Central Casting. My accent gets so thick and I just let it go.
It's beautiful. I'd love to hear that.
Oh, it's scary. But I hear it in the kids. Like now I hear my twins say things and I'm like, really? That's how you say that word? And they're like, yeah, that's how we say that word. And they're looking at me like, what is wrong with her? And I'm like, speak better. It's not okay. Don't let people know you're from New York. Please pronounce everything. Yes. When I travel down south, I get significantly abused. So I'm usually very
Oh, that's so
cautious.
sad. No,
They
we're New
are.
York friendly here. We love New
I
Yorkers,
know.
so
There's just
you are
something.
welcome.
Please, if for anybody in Alabama that's listening, please be kinder to New Yorkers. I've never had a good experience there. Olivia, I'm
Oof.
still traumatized. Okay, Olivia, we have to talk about babies. I
We
can't
do.
believe you literally just had babies.
I just
Fresh.
popped them out fresh. I didn't even pop them out. They were cut out of me. I didn't have to do any work.
They
It was
still got
great.
popped a little bit. I mean,
A little
honestly,
bit.
there
Popped and
is,
pulled and plucked, you know.
there's still
Yeah.
popping involved. It's
Yeah.
just more medicinal popping, but like your amniotic sac has to break if we want to be specific. So that was the pop. So they just got here. You
They
have
did.
tiny little chicks. Are they identical?
They're fraternal, actually. Well, we don't technically know for sure, but we were
Correct.
told there's only a 20% chance that they are identical and they look nothing alike to me. And they have different birthmarks and they couldn't be more different already. So we are like on the bandwagon of they're fraternal twins. They are not identical.
Oh man, but they
Yeah.
literally just got here. Okay, let's begin at the beginning.
Okay.
You hear that second heartbeat. Did you expect
Oh
it to be
man.
twins?
No. So we were told too that we wouldn't be able to get pregnant on our own. I TMI, but haven't had a period by myself in 2 years. And so I was diagnosed with PCOS. And based on my FSH and LH levels, I was told that, you know, we would need to go on, what is it, Clomid or
Clomid,
one
yes.
of to be able to ovulate and get pregnant. And, you know, my doctor made it sound like, oh, it's a super easy, simple thing, and referred me to the fertility clinic. And we had just decided like that we wanted to start trying for kids. And our words were, we could handle one baby right now. And so we reached out to the fertility clinic, and I just didn't feel right about it. I didn't feel like it was time to jump into that yet, just because there's so much testing and so much money that you have to pour into it. So we're like, you know, let's just wait it out and try and see what happens. And we apparently were like already pregnant when we were going through this because we had stopped because we were like, well, if we're not going to get pregnant on our own, like who cares? Like let's just do whatever. So, yeah, we were already pregnant and I had this like weird feeling at work that I should go home and take a pregnancy test. And I went home and I like pulled out my stick and I was like, do I really want to pee on $5? You know, like, and I was like, whatever, I'll order more on Amazon. It's fine. 'Cause I just was like, it's going to be negative. I'd taken so many like just for funsies since I wasn't having a period for 2 years. It was like, maybe I'm pregnant. And sure enough, I took it and it was like that it popped up. My husband was on his way home from work. I couldn't even wait for him to get home. I called him. Like, it was so fast and so unexpected. So we like I called the nurse and she was like, well, you know, like when was your last period? And I was like, 2 years ago. And she was like, okay, is there a baby like moving around inside of you right now? And I was like, I don't think so. Like, I just got new jeans and they still fit me. So we went in like 2 weeks later and they stuck the probe up. And sure enough, she like instantly, there was no lag. She stuck the probe in and she goes, there's two babies.
Oh my gosh.
And we were just so beyond ecstatic. I mean, we were just in tears like that. We just like, we went from not being able to get pregnant to one baby to two babies in the span of like a month. It was crazy. So, and I had always secretly wanted twins. Like, I think they're really cool. And like I used to like in high school, like when I thought about having kids, I'd be like, it'd be so cool to have twins. And they are in my family, but I just didn't realize that they were like super distant in our family. So, you know, we
Oh
got two
my
babies.
gosh.
Yeah.
How was your pregnancy?
So it wasn't terrible. I'll start with that. It wasn't terrible. I hated being pregnant. I'm just not one of those people that enjoys sharing my body with other creatures for 9 months. Some people are great at it. I was not. And I was like, you know, I definitely like milked it. Like I stopped moving. I stopped doing anything because I was like, I'm growing two humans. What more do you want from me? And so it was good until about like Week 30 was when I was like, okay, I definitely feel like I'm pregnant with two babies, not just one. Like, up until that point, I felt like, okay, this is normal. Like, this seems like what all my friends went through. And then at week 30, you know, you wake up in the middle of night projectile vomiting. Like, you can't poop to save your life. You're waddling, like you're hinge, like your joints come unhinged from your body. Like, it just feels like you're falling apart. So, week 34 was when my body decided that it was allergic to pregnancy. And my goal was to make it to week 36. And I feel like twin parents, you know, at week 30 is when you start like holding your breath, like every week, just hoping you can keep them in a little longer. And so, I kind of had a feeling that like things weren't going to go like totally according to plan at like week 34, because I had gained, I think, like, not that numbers are important, but I had gained like 90 pounds of like fluid weight. So, and my blood pressure was starting to spike. My mom told me that I looked like an Oompa Loompa, so that's when I knew that it was time. So week 38 was when I had like a scheduled induction. But we ended up going in for an induction week 37, because our baby B had kind of stopped growing and my blood pressure was getting too high and I had some protein in my urine. So they're like, let's get these babies out. And I was
Oh
like,
yeah.
fine by
Sounds
me,
good.
get them out. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you had your C-section and
Yes. I made it through like 16 hours of an induction and then I nicely raised my hand and asked for a C-section.
well, listen,
It
that's
didn't happen.
really great. Listen, but here's the good thing about that is that you've kind of had the best of both, right? So you got to have your contractions. Do you
Totally.
so you're thankful for that. You realize that that was kind of a
I
weird
loved
gift.
my C-section. And really, it was my doctor coming in and me crying after, you know, a night of just like laboring, but being in fake labor because I wasn't dilated. My cervix had like ran away to Timbuktu. They couldn't even find it to find out how dilated I was. And everything had just like swelled shut. Like nothing was coming in, nothing was coming out. So I had said, like, what are my options? And I was so lucky. I had a doctor who was a twin mom. And I said, am I allowed to ask for a C-section? And she was like, whatever you decide, it's totally your call. And she didn't tell me she had twins until after we decided to go with the C-section. And she was like, you know, your baby B was a little breached and I might have had to do a C-section anyways. And that was my one thing, was I didn't want a double whammy. I applaud any woman forever and ever who's ever had a double whammy birth experience, because I could not imagine that. I was like, let's pick one to recover from and let's do it before it's an emergency. So we were really lucky that we got that experience with it. It was a really great experience.
And so now, how was the hospital? And did they have any NICU time? Probably not, but did they? They could. You never know.
They didn't. So the hospital with like the quarantine stuff, I was really worried that my husband wasn't going to be able to be there with me and I was going to protest and give birth in the hospital lobby. I'd already told my doctor that that was going to happen. But thankfully, they were still allowing support people. So it was just my husband and I, which was actually kind of nice. It was really quiet. And they were kind of motivated to get you out sooner. So we got to go home after like the second day. So that was really nice. But we did not like being in the hospital at all. Everyone was great. Like, we had amazing doctors and amazing nurses, but I think it's just such a small room that you're in after they're born. And it's just kind of like exhausting, and there's people coming in constantly. And so we were just kind of ready to get them home. But yeah, we were so blessed that we were prepping for NICU stays, and we didn't have a NICU stay. We had a close call with my baby B, Brinley. She had some low glucose levels, but they supplemented formula and gave her glucose shots, and that kept her out of the NICU the first night. So yeah, we were really lucky.
Oh, that's good. So now everybody came home. And how
Everyone
was
came
your first few nights at home?
home. You know, I think we were so happy to be out of the hospital. They were really great. I'm trying to remember because I feel like you block out the first 2 weeks, maybe, or it's just, you know. But I have a wonderful husband who did all the work for me. So I think he wanted to be in our room just with more space. I didn't care where we were because I knew I wasn't going to be able to do anything after a C-section. So he would change the diapers and bring them to me to feed. So it went pretty smoothly, like as smooth as we say that as smooth as it could have gone, it went. So we
that's
were
great.
We had a really positive experience. Yeah.
Oh,
and I know
really,
not everybody
really
gets that. So I don't take it for granted.
I'm finding that as weird as this quarantine is, it's not crazy, Olivia, that I'm going to tell you that people are having more successful experiences. And I'm telling you, we did like a survey of all these Twin University students who, because like that's the people that knew me the best, right, was our students in class. And when we started teaching our live classes, I was like, I want to have a whole section just on like COVID stuff and hospital stuff. And pretty much unanimously, people feel that this was a positive for their experience because it forced a lot of partners and husbands to do things that they might have expected their mom to help with or just felt like it wasn't their place to do it. Like if your sister was there or something, I don't know if you have a sister, but often the women in the family kind of, you know, congregate. And then as a village, we raise these tiny babies. But because of the quarantine, it is so common that people are like, this is so great. Because there's nobody interfering with that bonding time between you and your husband. So I'm like, geez, I was like, there's something to this.
Huh.
There's something to this. And my dads are like totally overjoyed with the fact that they're getting to have this opportunity where they know they probably would have deferred to their mom or something.
Yeah.
So like, I think it's so horrible and wonderful at the same time. And like, you know, I'm not saying that this is, and Olivia and I were discussing pandemic stuff before this happened, and where she is in California is a mess, and where I am in New York, we're almost through our mess. But there's a lot of positives that have occurred, and one of them is this kind of tiny unit bonding that may not have happened any other way. So I'm really proud of you to say like it you know, it was as good as it could be, because you could easily be saying my mom wasn't there, his mom wasn't there. Like you could be looking at this in such a negative fashion. And I'm so proud of you that you're like, you know what? That was okay. We're doing all right now.
It worked out. Yeah. And my husband did come home like really confident. Like when he like walked us all up the driveway, like, and you know, he went from never holding babies, like he wouldn't hold a baby that wasn't his and he didn't have any babies to just like, you know, taking over and just, he had a system for everything. Like I was just kind of able to fall into the routine when I was ready. It was nuts. It was really awesome. But, you know, my mother was sitting in the parking lot, I believe, for most of the time we were in the hospital. So I'm sure he could have, like, waved at her and asked, like, how to change a diaper if he needed to.
I remember my mom telling me stories of when my uncle was born. And back in the day, in 1852... when my uncle was born, he wasn't born in 1852, but women always gave birth alone. And so the way that you would get to introduce the new baby to the family is that you would walk to the window and at the hospital, and then your kids and your husband would be outside waving to you. And so now
I'm got the stogie in his mouth,
pretty
celebrating.
Much, yeah. And like the kids have no shoes on and whatever. And like, I always picture like kind of this like very like black and white movie of my mom and my uncle being born. But there's a bit of that that's reminiscent of that era. And I don't know, I'm weirdly hopeful that family dynamics may actually do better because of this pandemic.
Yeah. That would be a positive. If we get some positives out of it, hopefully that's one.
I think we're going to find a lot. I think it's if you're looking for the negatives, you're only going to find the negatives. But what a special time to have babies born.
I know. It's crazy.
It's so cool. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I want to talk about C-section healing, and you're over that 6-week mark. So I want to know kind of how that's going. So sit right there. We'll be right back with Olivia. So your twins have finally made their grand entrance into the world. Congratulations and welcome to the Twin Parenting Club. Now what? Oh, well, the Twinversity first year with Twins Resource is definitely the place to start. We have plenty of information and resources to help you navigate twin parenting. Our tips come from our very own experienced twin parents around the world. These parents have been there, done that, and they're ready to share the tips and tricks with you. Here's a snippet from week one. All hands on deck. You and your partner need to work as a team. If two parents are equally caring for two newborns and the division of labor is fair, you will have a much easier time. If only one parent is doing the majority of the heavy lifting, it'll take a toll on your relationship. Make a game plan early on about dividing up feedings, diaper changes, chores, and more. So for more infant tips and more tips of our first year with twins, visit twiniversity.com/first year. 9 weeks. 9 weeks ago, you were hatching things out of your womb, going,
being pulled by the surgical field.
Does it feel like yesterday?
I don't know. It feels like it's going by so fast, but at the same time, it feels like they've been here for forever. Aww. Like they just feel like they've been a part of our family. So it's weird to think about a time when they weren't here, and I just kind of block out the time that they were inside of me.
Oh my gosh, these tiny babies. So now you had your C-section. How was the healing going, and what would you tell somebody, because like it's so fresh for you, you have the best insight right now. So what would you tell somebody who, you know, is going to have a C-section scheduled? What are some of the things they should have in their hospital bag? What are some of the tricks that you learned from being home? Give us the scoop.
So I didn't realize that a C-section meant like major abdominal surgery. Like, you know, I knew what they were doing to me, but I just didn't think like, oh, you're not going to be able to get up the next day. Like you can't just walk on out of there and start doing yoga. Like it's so I think I wasn't mentally prepared for that. And again, I do not regret having a C-section, and I loved the C-section experience. It was magical. All I had to do was lay there and they had the babies for me pretty much. So I remember the morning after, like when the pain meds wear off and the nurse comes in and you have to go to the bathroom the first time, 'cause they got to rip the catheter out and they have to make sure everything's working. That was the most excruciating pain I have ever felt in my life. And I think like the difference between like a C-section and having a vaginal delivery is most of your recovery from a vaginal delivery. Like, I mean, for most people in a normal situation, like it's pretty quick, and the rough part is like during the birth. And then, you know, you just have a recovery afterwards. That's not terrible. Maybe I've never had one, so I don't know. But with a C-section, like it's so great and easy, and then the pain meds wear off and it's not. Recovery sucks. So yeah, it was really rough the first like week. I think my husband had to like literally change my diapers for me. Like he was changing three different diapers. and I couldn't like bend really, so like sitting on the toilet was excruciating. Get lots of prunes. That's my biggest advice. That's the only thing that works. Like my husband would kind of have to like be like my walker and like walk me around the house. So but I will say, like, the more you can get up and moving, like the better it is, as hard as it is. Like after the first morning when I went up to go to the bathroom, I think I held my pee until like the night nurse came on. Like it was like 7 p.m. by the time I got up again, because it was just so excruciating. And I just wasn't prepared for that. I just didn't know. And I think my husband was honestly better prepared for it, because someone had texted him, or they texted me to tell him when I let people know I was having a C-section. They said, make sure Barrett knows he's going to be changing all the diapers. And so I think it just, he knew in his head that he was going to be the one doing everything once they came out. So I think I started to feel like a normal human again by like 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, it's like, okay, I can picture myself walking around normally again, because that's like, you're in so much pain and there's so much you can't do that you can't imagine being like a normal human again. Like you just can't imagine a time when you're going to be able to move around again. And I did have a lot of swelling, so I think that also made a couple of doctors had told me that the recovery was going to be worse because you're just like sweating and peeing all your fluids out. There's just tons of, yeah, not fun. But yeah, like I think we went for like our first like walk, like after 2 weeks, like we put the babies in a stroller and like went for a walk around the block. Yeah. And I didn't push myself too much, but yeah, the more like you can walk and move around, the better off I feel like you'll be. And that also helped my blood pressure go back down faster, which was nice. So now that we're 9 weeks out, I definitely started like pushing myself too early, which I don't recommend. Like as far as doing more than just like walking, like I was like, I could push the stroller up this hill, and my husband would be like, no, you can't. And I tried to do like a bar workout the other week, and it was like, nope.
my abs were just,
yeah, they
yeah, they're
down.
Not ready. Like, you're no, still healing. You could hurt ready. Yourself.
Yeah, and please so don't that's do that. Where I was okay. like, okay, calm down, Olivia. Okay. You're fine. And I do have a little bit of diastasis recti. I think I have like a 3.5 finger gap. And I didn't know that. So I checked for it the other day and I was like, whoa, there's a gaping hole in my abdominal wall. So, you know, just I think the biggest thing you can do is just have grace with yourself and go easy on your body. Like get up and move around, but like don't push it. You know, no one's expecting anything out of you until like a year postpartum, maybe like, and even then, you know. Take it in your own time.
It's funny that people expect this weird, miraculous recovery when it took you, you know, months and months to have the babies. It's going to take you months and months to get back to where you were. It's not an overnight sensation. And if it was, or if there was a way to do it, you know, somebody would be selling that by now. Right. Like somebody yeah. would have been like, oh, my God, I got the answer. Here's the workout for a post babies. That's never going to happen. You really have to just be patient. So please don't do any more workouts until your doctor yeah. says it's OK. That makes
we're doing a real nice like yoga. I mean, my doctor cleared. I have a very optimistic doctor. So she was like, yeah, do what feels comfortable. But, you know, it didn't feel comfortable and I still kept doing it. So I'm doing some nice, really relaxing yoga because the other weird thing is like I didn't move around for 9 months. I lost all my mobility. Like I can't touch my toes, you know, and that's
you'll
something
get it back.
That,
you'll get it yeah, back totally. And you could just put the babies on the floor and keep picking them up from there. So you drop them, yeah, you pick them up, go. You put them down, you yeah. dump them. Now, how is go. Breastfeeding? Are you breastfeeding at all?
I am not anymore. So we, and that's something that I'm actually like, I'm really grateful that I had the experience I had because I'm kind of like a no guilt about anything person, like just do what works for you. And I know that there's a lot of pressure to breastfeed and it is great and it's good and it's awesome if you can do that.
You don't have to sell us on breastfeeding, Olivia. It's there
yeah,
is no judgment. I don't know if you've noticed that at Twiniversity by now, but literally we're cool with whatever you do.
Perfect.
It doesn't matter to us. So oh, what yeah. so how did you try in the hospital or what was
yeah.
what do you think so, you could like because this the whole point of this is to look inside your medicine cabinet. Like I said, that's what I feel like this podcast is. But if there was something that you're like, you know what, this really didn't work out for us and I'm cool with it. There's a lot of people who like you when they say I'm not breastfeeding, it's followed up by like a quick reason. Nobody asked you for the reason. We're totally fine with it. You're like giving us information. I mean, feel free if you have to, if you need to get it off your chest, but don't feel bad about the decisions that you make for you and your family. Ever. Really don't. Yeah. Like you got to just that's the first thing that's got to go because there's going to be 18 million things that are going to come up. And I'm not anti-breastfeeding by any means. I am just so much more pro-mom that I
yeah.
that's my stance. If you're asking me what the soapbox that Twiniversity stands on, we are pro-mom. And but you know I'm a CLC, like I could wear my hat yeah. and be like okay, but honestly I really think it's good. I know I had a really 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 hard time breastfeeding. So for me, in hindsight, you know, I'm a CLC now because of my own experience, but I did not have a good one. So it's tough for me. So when you're saying like, you know, you feel bad, I feel bad for you, but you don't ever have to feel bad about, I mean, especially with us. I mean, if your family wants to give you guilt and crap about it, but with us, no, we don't do that here, Olivia.
I think the thing that I had a problem with feeling bad that I didn't feel bad because I
Good.
was so like, I'm so pro like mental health that like when my mental health was sliding, I was like, nope, like we're done, like shut it down. And you know, we stopped breastfeeding. So, because my baby B was supplementing formula from the get-go,
Because of the
and
glucose, right?
because the glucose, and
Perfect.
then I think because I had a C-section, my milk didn't come in for like 7 days. And I was pumping and like trying to do all the things that I could while recovering from surgery. And so by the time we took both babies to their like 2-day checkup, Austin had like, I think she had like 14% weight loss. So they put her on formula supplementing too. So we were nursing, formula feeding and pumping. So it was like the trifecta of all the things. And it was just way too much. I was like, can we just pick one that was working? Because it was discouraging to be, obviously, I'm glad that my babies got as much breast milk as they could, but it was hard to be doing all this work and not produce enough milk still
It's
for two babies.
frustrating. It's
It is
frustrating for the amount of
frustrating.
work that you put in. You expect it to literally pour out like a faucet,
Yes.
and then it
Yes.
doesn't. It's very it goes back to that whole that people are not they don't know what realistic is, you know. And so already you felt that like, you know, I'm not doing well because your milk didn't come in for a little bit longer than expected. So, you know, there's so many different challenges, and I totally get it. I totally get it. And there is no norm. Like, I wish that there was kind of like how I wish that somebody would create the program to go back for our bodies in a week. Like, that would be good. But there is no
Yeah.
norm when it comes to breastfeeding, and everybody's boobs are different. Everybody's milk comes in different. And
Yeah.
there is a lot of stress that goes along with it. I do, Olivia, I will tell you the truth, and this is not the first person, you're not the first person I've said this to, but I don't really talk about it a lot publicly, but I humbly credit my breastfeeding experience for my significant postpartum depression. I think that
Wow.
it goes hand in hand, because if you keep putting all this
Totally.
undue pressure on yourself, you know, and then I never had somebody tell me that I couldn't breastfeed. Or I, you know,
And
I
that,
sh so th I'm
yeah.
really proud of you that you were like, hey, this is my deal. So tell me your deal. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to
Oh,
say, like, I
no.
feel
I'm
you.
glad you said that, 'cause I was feeling like there has I like we're so on the breast is best pendulum, which is awesome, but then, you know, where's the middle ground for mom when there's all this pressure? And I felt like if I had kept going, I would have maybe had postpartum depression. And that was like what I wanted to avoid at all costs. So when we were supplementing formula and doing all the things, I kind of made a goal for myself to just offer them breast milk for their first 6 weeks of life. Because I had done some research that that's when the most like immune development is happening in their little bodies. So we did actually make it that 6 weeks, which I'm pretty proud of. It feels like it was so long ago, but I guess it was only like 3 weeks ago that I stopped. But yeah, I was really fortunate that I have a best friend who's a certified lactation consultant, and then I also got to go see one through our health insurance on a weekly basis. And everyone that I talked to was just preaching fed is best to me. So I felt like they're just because I had two, and maybe, you know, I kind of feel bad for singleton moms that are having a hard time because I don't think there's as much grace as there is for twin moms because people, it's not, I don't think it's the norm anymore to be able to breastfeed two babies for a year exclusively.
It's definitely the needle in the haystack. If we look at like statistically, if we look at Twin University statistics, it's very rare that somebody will make it a year, and even more rare if they make it beyond that. But you do have people that go 2 years plus. I mean, you know,
And that's
it
awesome.
does happen, but it's a different experience for every single person. You know, it
Yeah.
really is. And we are, oh, we're so bad. So there's this thing called the WHO code, right? So there's like the World Health Organization has this code when it comes to, you know, infant nutrition and stuff. And so Twin University is a WHO code violator. is what we'd be called. And so we are like the black sheep of the infants world. I think most people are WHO code violators, and basically what that means is that we do talk about formula and we do say, you know,
Are you
introduce a
serious?
bottle. Yeah, like let but let me tell Olivia, like
You're
no
like
joke.
violating
I
something?
literally am what's called a WHO code violator, and in the breastfeeding community, I am not the most loved sometimes. Because of that, because I'll be like, hey, dude, let me tell you, breastfeeding totally stung for me and it wasn't a good experience. And here's why. But like, instead of just complaining about it, I actually went and got schooled on the right way to do things, which is interesting because I'm the type of person that, you know, like when you're with a group of friends and they're like, oh my gosh, we really should do this. I'm the type of person that would then say, well, you should do that. Right. So I will never make a suggestion unless I would actually be willing to do it or knew about it. That's just it's one of my weird pet peeves, especially like wet watch when the girls get big and you're on PTA and somebody's like, we should have a picnic. Oh, especially for you as a teacher. You probably see this all the time. We should do this. Should we, Janet?
Like,
Should we do
yeah, go
that?
plan it, Janet.
Yeah, I'm sick of that. So with the
Oh,
breastfeeding
that's
community,
awesome.
I'm like, I went, I got, you know, the full-on certificate, all that jazz, 19 million hours of training. I
Yeah,
did it
you did.
all. And I still, it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, I just know that as a lactation support person, if somebody doesn't have appropriate mental health, if they're not feeling good, the ship's not going to work. If there's nobody driving it, what's the point? What's the point of even having this, right? So I
Totally.
feel for you. And this actually has never come up on this podcast before. So I'm glad that
Really?
we're talking about it now. Yeah, because this podcast is kind of a day in the life, but like you only had a few days. Your
It's a
babies
very
just got
short
here.
window of
It's
time,
but
yeah.
it's so good and I'm so happy for you. Now, to go into the day in the life, how are they sleeping? How are they eating? How many bottles a day are they giving them? What does your day look like?
Okay, so I might make some enemies here real quick when I say that my twins are basically sleeping through the night at this point.
That's okay, because they're
they
going to drive you crazy as teenagers. Nature
totally,
balances out.
totally.
So for those
Yes, they
listening
will.
that
So I
want
get this
to,
one win. I get
yeah,
this one win,
you
but I'm
have
going to
it.
get screwed over down the line.
Yeah, that's okay. We got later. Don't worry about it. Enjoy it now.
So they're 9 weeks and they are like sleeping pretty much like a solid 8 to 9 hour stretch. So my husband's back at work now because he's considered an essential worker. He's been building the COVID tents in the hospitals. He's an electrician. And so his company's been contracting with a lot of hospitals in the area right now. So he went back after like week four. So my routine, like I kind of kept the routine going that he had established, and it's worked for us pretty well. Now that they're 9 weeks and like awake and getting little personalities, it can, you know, the schedule. I live and die by the schedule until I don't.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
So it is. So I have like a wake time that I wake up with them, or like more often than not, they wake me up at about 6 a.m. And that's when they're like, we are ready to eat full force. So my babies are very different, so they each get like different ounces that they'll take each feeding, and it always switches. But they're feeding 6 times a day, and they're kind of on like a 3 hour cycle of a schedule.
Are you
So
making the formula ahead of time? Are you using ready to feed? What are you doing?
we switched to the good old powdered Kirkland stuff about like 3 weeks ago, I think. And we'll make bottles like in bulk and just have them in the fridge. So that way we just pull them out, throw them on the warmer, good to go. So they'll eat like anywhere from like 3 to 6 ounces. It just kind of depends on what they want to do. And then once they've eaten all, I have that the double breastfeeding like twinsy pillow that I'll stick them in, and I just kind of double feed them like that on my own. And then I burp one, change a diaper, burp the other, change the diaper. Usually one of them is screaming within that time. It's a good time. And then I try to like keep them awake for like an hour, maybe hour and a half. And then I try to get them to sleep for an hour, hour and a half during the day. doesn't always happen. My baby A just kind of like discovered the world. Like Austin just wants to be awake all the time. It's very cute. But she doesn't like to nap during the day. If the sun's out, she's out and she wants to play. So, yeah. And then we just kind of follow that 3 hour cycle until, dad gets home, and then my husband and I will try to make dinner for ourselves if it's a day that we're eating because we have time to eat. And then we might do a bath before bedtime. I had to give them a bath this morning because they pooped their brains out. So sometimes baths happen in the morning, sometimes they happen at night. And then, we'll do our bedtime routine. So this is like when we make it to like 6 o'clock is when we start giving them their last big feeding of the day, giving them a bath. We read like three different books to them. And I feel like
Aww.
the routine, yeah, they don't know what's going on, but
No,
the
but it's
routine
good
is
for
good for them.
you. It's good
Yeah,
for
it's
you.
good
You're
for us.
establishing your routine. You're doing it. That's
Totally.
great. I love it. You're a
Totally.
teacher. You have to, by the way. This is your gig.
Exactly.
That's how it goes.
Phonemic awareness starts early, people. And then we do a dream feed at like 10 p.m. and they haven't really had a problem just going back to sleep. It's really weird. If it's dark and nighttime, they'll sleep no problem. During the day, it's another story.
Wow.
But
But it's
yeah.
working. But you have a
It's
system,
working.
and
Yeah.
that's another benefit of this podcast is right, you look into Olivia's medicine cabinet and it's like, "Hey, my kids are sleeping where other people, their kids are only sleeping during the night and they're they're up all day and well, they're only sleeping during the day and they're up all night is really what I'm trying to go." So it's there's sometimes there's not a science to this.
There's
It's just
not. And I
creating
was
that routine you're
really,
comfortable with.
totally, I was really like structured going into it. I was like, we're going to do exactly this. I'm like, we're going to follow this schedule. And honestly, the only thing I really stick to anymore is the time that they eat. And even then, sometimes we throw that for a loop. But yeah, they're so different that, and babies aren't little robots. They're not little nap robots that just know how to like, okay, time to go to sleep. Okay, time to wake up and eat and play. Like, and I have tried to like fight my baby A, Austin, to keep her like on the schedule that I want her to. And she doesn't listen. She doesn't care. Like, she's me, like in a baby. So she's not, she does what
Oh,
she wants to do when she wants it. So
she's you and a baby.
yeah, she's
That's
me and a
so
baby.
cute.
Yeah, it's great.
What's something that you're most looking forward to doing with them when they get older?
Oh, well, when the world opens back up, I haven't even let myself go to that place. When they're older, I just feel like it's gonna be so fun to include them in our lives. Like, I mean, it already is, but like my husband and I like to go out and do things. Like, we like to camp, we like to go outdoors, we like to go to wineries when we can, when the world's open. And I feel like we just have like such a great team, and now we just have little like other team players on the team. So I just feel like it's gonna be so fun to do all the outdoorsy things and the things that we like to do and to just share it with them.
Oh my
So
gosh. Are you going to get them like their own little monogram sleeping bags or something like that? Like, what do we
probably like the
do?
LL Bean ones.
Yeah,
Those
you
are
got to
so
do
cute.
it. I'm
I know.
so
I was so
excited.
like, I'm not going to do personalized or matching things. No, they're the cutest. You have to. You get like two little dress up buddies. You're
Oh
like
my
little dolls
gosh.
right now.
That is
It's so
so
fun.
sweet. You have
So fun.
so many great things coming up. I am so jealous that you're beginning at the beginning, and we get to talk to you now, and I hope we get to talk to you a million times because I am dying to see this evolution. And it's going to be an evolution for them as tiny little humans, as you, as a woman, as a wife, as a teacher. You're going to go and you're going to change, and everything is going to be so different and great. If you make it great, right? If you keep looking for the
Right.
positives, you're going to find it. If we keep looking for the negatives, we're going down the rabbit hole and we ain't coming out. So
Yeah.
you're right there. And at 9 weeks, honestly, if you don't realize how well you're doing, I don't know what to tell you. Because I've worked with hundreds, like literally probably more than hundreds. It's got to be definitely a few hundred, I would say. Like realistically, I'm going to say between 600 and 800 families that are around this age. You really have it. You got your schedule. You have a plan of action. You know, you're in a worldwide pandemic and you're like, meh, but this is our schedule. This is how we're rolling. Your hair is curled. You have a plan. Like, it's great. You're doing so great.
Well, thank you. I think like my husband and I are very like go with the flow people. And so for us, and we also don't have older kids. So like, this is all we know is just, you know, taking things one day at a time, and there's two of them, and you just figure out a system and you find what works for you. And if something's not working, you throw it out the window and it's fine. But yeah, it's just, it's fun. And if you keep it fun, it's fun. Like even when like one baby screaming and crying their heads off is kind of sad and depressing. But if two of them are like looking at each other and screaming out of their minds, it's kind of funny. Like there's a little bit of comedy in it with two. So you got to find the fun in it.
Oh, girl. Thank you so much for taking your sweet little precious time that you could be spending in a bath or, you know, doing your gentle yoga so you don't hurt yourself. Please, I'm begging you, don't hurt yourself. And you chose to spend it with us. So really, Olivia, thank you very much.
Oh, of course. Anytime. Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun, Nat.
Was it just coffee with Nat? What did I expect? It was coffee with expectation?
Nat. I would love to do wine with Nat and get that accent to come out. No, but, I can't. You know, I'll take coffee with Nat any day.
Olivia, I can't do it. I hide my face. I can't do it. All right, we'll see. Maybe that'll be like when the babies hit their 2-year milestone. Okay. That will be super. I'm a vodka girl, though, so it's not going to be wine on my end, if that's okay. But I will go to a winery.
A lemon drop.
I've never met a winery I did not like. Although actually I did. I'm not a fan of like bold reds. No, thank you. I am still like, you know, the 21-year-old girl drinking for the first time. Like, give me a nice crisp Pinot and I'm good. Like that's
like a barefoot kind of bottle. I'll take
it. I don't want a bottle of wine that's more than $10. It's not worth it. Don't spend that money on me. That's that. Oh, Olivia, I love you so much. I'm so happy that you played with us today. Thank you so, so much. And guys, for those of you that are listening, if you want to send Olivia a message, feel free. You could email us at community@twiniversity.com and we will send it on over to her. And you know, truthfully, that's what this whole podcast is about. We're just getting a glimpse inside. I have no direction of where this is going to go. I thought about making it like this formulaic podcast and here were our questions, but truthfully, there are so many different ways to raise your kids and to have your babies, and there is no right way. If there was a right way, this would be such, I would not have a podcast. If Twiniversity wouldn't exist, it would be so freaking boring. So I'm so happy that we get to have to kind of expose you guys to people from all over the country, so chill and relaxed or super tight wound and type A. You never know what you're going to get. So don't forget to subscribe. And if you need anything from us, drop us a DM, as the kids say, on any social platform. We're just at Twiniversity every single place. And until next time, guys, I'll see you later, alligators. Thanks for listening.